Yes, our next guest, he needs no introduction. He is the head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons, newly head coach of the Bowling Green Falcons, one Eddie George. I call him Coach. I try to get away from the Eddie because I want to show you so much respect. So I try to, when I text you or anything else, other than the day I did say EG, but I try to refer to you as Coach. But how you doing, Coach? What's going on this morning?
Derek, man, doing great, man. So good to hear your voice, bro. How you been, man?
Hey, man, I've been good. Just working and enjoying life right about now. But I'm sure my life is nothing like yours. Yours have become increasingly busy now that you've taken over with the Bowling Green Falcons. Now tell me, because each and every year, Coach, whether it be at TSU when you first took a job, you took on a program that was struggling. In a matter of 3 or 4 years, you got that program at the OVC, winning a share of the title, Coach of the Year. You know, now you take yourself and a part of your staff there to Bowling Green. What are some of the things you're going to take with you that you learned there at TSU, and now you're moving up and you're taking on this task with a team that did go to a bowl game last year? They finished tied for third in the conference at 6-2. So what are you taking from those years at TSU that you're going to implement here with the Falcons?
Yeah, great question, brother. Well, first of all, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be head coach at Bowling Green State University. It came at a time I wasn't expecting it. But you know, you look at it in terms of my timing is not God's timing. So, but I'm still implementing things. It's been 3 months. I'm still getting my arms wrapped around the entire program, from players, staff, academics, compliance, recruiting, strength and conditioning, equipment, housing, athletic training, compliance and video, all of that. So, Before I make any declarations, I like to sit back and understand what's been working, what hasn't been working, what can be increased, get my arms around the budget to see how I can enhance that. Really spent a lot of time, you know, focusing on fundraising efforts for our program, for like NIL or even enhancing our students, our scholarship. So that's been it. But on the field, in terms of the culture, you know, the first brick laid, Derek, is toughness and discipline. You know, this team, what you mentioned, was 6-2 last year. They went to 3 straight bowl games. They're on the cusp of doing some great things. But I had to find out who they are, you know, and the first place I looked was the locker room. And I noticed that the locker room wasn't tight. It wasn't tidy. It was stuff left everywhere. And I said, hey, you know, I was the biggest culprit in our locker room back in the day when my stuff was everywhere. And it took for Bruce Matthews to pull me aside. I said, hey man, nobody's going to listen to you because look at how you present yourself with your locker. You know, you gotta present yourself in a professional way, and your locker speaks volumes of who you are. And I had mail and all kinds of stuff coming out of my locker, man. So, you know, I challenged those guys. I said, listen, this is who you are. And this is where we got to start. We got to find those wins right now and enhance the culture. You know, Scott Leffler, the former head coach, who's now the quarterback coach with the Eagles, did a great job building this program up for the last 6 years. And this is not a rebuild. This is a retweaking situation. And I'm just putting my thumbprint on it, taking some systems that have been working very well. So I'm putting my thumbprint on it and just really taking it each and every day, finding ways to get better each and every day to enhance the entire life style for the student athlete in terms of the total experience they're going to have from the time they wake up for class to it comes to this facility, when they leave the facility, and how they operate day to day.
Now, is that the toughest part, especially with now the NIL and the movement these student athletes or athletic students they have? It's a free for, it seems like. Is that the most difficult part when you're setting a culture and a foundation, because there's so many in and out, and you're not getting guys to stay, you know, at a program, stay in college, but let alone at a program for 3 years. I would imagine, Coach, it's a little bit daunting of a task to try to develop your culture when so many guys are coming in and out.
Yeah, it's the challenge there, no mm-hmm. question, because of the NIL, and you have players that look for other opportunities. You know, you develop them, and I've experienced that at Tennessee State, where you develop these kids, and other schools come in, they're looking for depth, they're looking for new starters, and they come to pluck your trees. But I've learned that you got to embrace this time. And the NIL, I'm going to invest in my current team. So as I develop these young men, my job is to say, hey, I'm going to reward you to stay and understand, hey, you can get to any level from here. You don't necessarily have to go chase a logo or anything of that nature to feel like, hey, I got to go and, you know, down the street to Ohio State, or I got to go to Michigan State to be seen. I mean, you can get it done here. I think you saw that with the kid that was just drafted, Fannin, Harold Fannin Jr., the tight end. So he went the second and third round to the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, I've embraced it. I'm not shying away from it. I'm finding ways to say, hey, how can I reward the guys that are staying here, increase their value of their scholarship dollars, whether it be the cost of attendance or through NIL opportunities, to where they don't have to want for anything, but feel like, hey, I'm getting a wonderful experience here. I'm being developed here, and I have a chance to play at a high level and get as many reps as I can to make a case to say I can play on Sundays. You know, so that's kind of how I've looked at it and embraced it.
Now, Eddie, before I pass it over to Willie, not only did you change universities, but your son changed as well. He also is a student athlete there at Bowling Green. So how has that experience and that transition been for him? Because listen, the guy, your son, he started to really come on last season, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. his dad gets a new job, and now he chooses to go along with you. How has he adapted to the situation?
You know, he's better head on, Derek. Mm-hmm. He relished up the opportunity to come up Bowling Green State University. He's first one in the building, last one to leave. I really don't have to say much to him. You know, he's one of our strongest players already on the team. He's working his tail off, and you know, he's just looking for the opportunity to play at a high level. You know, he's just hungry. He told me, he said, "Dad, no matter what logo's on the side of the helmet, I'm gonna go out here and put my best foot forward and work. Mm-hmm. You know, do what he's accustomed to doing." So it's been awesome, honestly. You know, to have my family here, to have him here, and this next phase of his life. And I think he sees the opportunities and going to take advantage of it both on and off the football field.
We're talking to Eddie George. Great hearing his voice. He is the head coach of Bowling Green as he starts to build another program after doing such a great job with Tennessee State the last couple of years. And Eddie, I'm just curious, as you walked in, you know, every school is a little different with the budget and now the NIL, and it's always changing. So I'm curious, when you first got there, when you tried to wrap your arms around, okay, what's my system? How much do I have to work with over here for facilities, for recruiting? And then how much did it tweak, if any, when the house settlement came down the other day?
Well, it's not tweaking too much. We kind of prepared for what the house settlement was going to be. We understand, you know, it's going to be a phase-in. From what I understand, it's going to be phasing from a grandfathering calls and getting the guys that were here stable to kind of phasing that 105 number. You know, so you know, from a budget standpoint, you know, we're constantly fundraising to make sure that our kids don't want for anything. My main things are nutrition and recruiting. And the part of that recruiting is NIL. Again, the NIL is meant to reward the kids that we've recruited in high school, that we've developed, and they don't feel a need to jump in now. There will be some outliers that we'll have to go and get, like a quarterback or a defensive end or a defensive tackle that has production, whether it be in an FBS program or FCS program. We're going to have to play that game because that's where the market is. But for the most part, you know, that's kind of where we are. You know, as I've gotten a general understanding of what our budget is, where the holes are, where we need the most development and where we need fundraising attention to, those are the areas. And I think we're in a really good, strong financial position to move forward and to really compete, you know, with the top of the MAC schools in this conference and abroad, to say, hey, you know, our financial plan, the value of our scholarship is on par or better than most of these schools. So that's the goal.
Eddie, there's been a lot of talk about expanding the college football playoff. You know, you got Tennessee State to a playoff with a 16-team format. Are you confident in the next few years that you might see a day while you're still coaching at Bowling Green that the MAC champion could be a part of a 16-team tournament?
Well, that's my goal now. You know, I mean, I'm not worried about the expansion. I think that's the goal right now. I'm not concerning myself with, well, what ifs and if we win a MAC championship and if we can play. My goal is to put a product on the field that can't be denied, you know, that opportunity. You look at this team, really this program, it went into Penn State, a place that I played in a couple times as a player at Ohio State and got thrashed. And, you know, we've been up there my junior year and got beat 63-14. And this team last year took them on head-to-head, a team that finished top four in the country and lost by 7 points. And then the following week go down to Texas A&M and lose by 6 points. So the makeup is here. It can be done. Now, it's going to take a special team in this conference to garner that attention to get in the top, sneak in the top 12. But I think it's possible. When you look at these MAC schools, the playing field is pretty much even. There's not like a one or two teams that are head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, give or take a position here or a key playmaker there, that's when you start to see the difference in this conference. But it's really great coaches here. It's really great players here. There's a good landscape in terms of recruiting. So it's highly competitive.
Eddie, before we let you go, I think I know I've interviewed you enough and heard you interviewed by D-Mace enough to know where you're going to stand on this, but I think of you and D-Mace, my college experience at Vanderbilt. You, when you go back to your alma mater, it's easy for you. You know people. You want to go to the sidelines for a game. You're connected. Had you been a player who, let's just call it sort of a modern-day player now, you see players play at two or three different schools over a five-year period, it would be different, right? It would be very different. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview when D-Mass asked you what you're trying to do at the start, you're trying to establish that your needs could be met at Bowling Green. You're trying to sort of discourage a player from maybe chasing a couple extra $1,000 here and there. Do you right. think it's hard to sell that? And do you think over time, as the rat race keeps happening here, that players will start to understand that, hey, staying at one spot has huge advantages, even if you don't get a couple extra bucks along the way.
Right, right. Now, again, it comes down to what these players want. I think a stat came out to where over the last 3 or 4 years, players that have jumped from school to school, I think 17% had an opportunity to go to the next level. Whereas if you stay and get developed, you're I think it's somewhere in the 70 percentile where you have an opportunity to get drafted. And I think we're starting to see that now. My recruiting pitch and what I tell players, I said, listen, it's earned, never given. Everything is earned, down to the bands that you wear here. And we're not going to give you anything because in life you're not going to be given anything. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to grind for it. And that's the environment that I create. Now, if you're about that, it's okay. Now, it weeds out some guys in terms of, hey, what are my NIL opportunities? And I said, well, what was your production in college last year? Oh, it was nothing. Oh, well, that's your NIL opportunity. You know, so it's very clear in terms of what it is. And I said, well, if you come out and you play well and you are All-American and that, well, yeah, I'm going to compensate you. I get that. I get where we are, but nothing is ever given. And I think we're starting to see that. And we've had a really strong recruiting period, got a few commitments from the 26 class and really focusing on the 27s. And I think we're really finding out the kids that love ball, that love to compete, and that want to be developed. And if the kids are looking for money, they're going to go find the money, but I don't think they're going to ultimately find the opportunity to play, and I'm not sure if those kids, if their heart is really into loving the game of football. And that's
where I don't think they get it, right? That you can't put a dollar value on a great experience at one place where you have teammates, you have a coaching staff that you've – like,
right.
you're going to coach these guys 4 years, and then when you're 10 years, 20 years down the road, those people are going to reach out to you. You're going to be reaching out to them. It's like you sacrifice so much when you bounce around.
Yeah, and here's the thing. What are we really teaching these kids? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a runaway from adversity. No, you learn so much by going through it, by going through the valleys, by being developed in the crucibles of life. I mean, that's where it is. You know, my toughest moments were my greatest moments. When I fumbled twice against Illinois my freshman year, it was a tough 2 years. And in a place like Ohio State and Michigan State, you know, the schools like that, if you are injured or you're hurt or you make a mistake, the next guy behind you is just as good. So I had every reason to jump into the portal or leave or find a place that was easy. But I chose to stay, dig my cleats in the dirt, work hard, and find a way. And that experience had propelled me to win a Heisman, to have the career I had in the NFL. It gave me the tenacity to force forward in my life after football. So what's happening is robbing these kids of those moments of growth and really taking on the hard stuff. We embrace it here. I said, listen, our mental toughness is predicated on how we handle adversity. We welcome it. You know, we got to turn and go toward it versus running away from it. And you're going to find out real quick when something doesn't go well, you're not getting the reps that you want to get, or you can't get the number that you want, something, you know, trivial. You're going to find out who is able to withstand it, who's willing to grind it for it, and who's not. And that's okay with me. We're finding out. We're separating the wheat from the chaff. And it's not easy.
Now, Coach, before we get you out of here, I just want a quick question about the Tennessee Titans. I know you've been concentrating on getting your program together and mm-hmm. whatnot, so I know you may have not seen a lot of what's going on with the Titans, but I'm sure you pay attention to what's you know, going on throughout the building. When you look at the Titans and, you know, the draft picks and the acquisitions that they have made, how do you see this team moving forward? Do you think they're headed in the right direction with the new hires, whether it be GM, mm-hmm. you know, coordinators within the coaching staff? Where do you see this team headed this season?
Well, I really like Callahan and what he's trying to establish from a philosophical standpoint. I love the GM. I think that, you know, Amy had to make some really hard decisions in the last 24 months in terms of where she's trying to go. And I think you have to allow for some things to manifest and come to fruition. And it's not going to take I don't believe in overnight successes. You know, you kind of hit the reset button on who they're going to be. You have to allow that, you know, to grow and to develop and to be cultivated over time through various draft choices and learn the mistakes. So with that said, I think they found the quarterback. Hopefully they found him to see what he's able to do. From what I understand, he's been having a really good camp. He's showing promise there. You know, I heard through somebody on the staff that he called out one of the receivers, mm-hmm. said, "Hey man, if you drop another pass, I'm not coming to you." Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you love. You know, you love that out of your quarterback. Steve was much like that. You and Steve developed a really great relationship because of the accountability factors that were there, and I could see that in him. And they got to surround him with a lot of weapons. So they have a good running game, good running backs up front. It's going to still be a question in terms of, you know, how that offensive line is going to pair out. And again, I'm not familiar who they drafted in terms of tight ends and who they have on the outside, but it appears that first brick laid was identifying the quarterback of the future, and that's what you got to have.
Well, you know better than anybody else, Coach. If you don't have that quarterback, man, oh, man, it's going to be hard.
We know.
Yeah, we know. If you don't have that quarterback, it's tough. And luckily for us, we had that quarterback. and Steve McNair. I hope you have your quarterback there at Bowling Green, and we all hope that the Tennessee Titans have found their quarterback in Cam Ward. Yeah. So,
well,
but,
well, what I need from y'all, I need you to send me an address. I want to send y'all some gear.
Oh, no doubt. Derek. Absolutely.
I know you love the green and white. I know you love the green and white, so I'm going to throw a little orange in the action for you.
Hey, I would always support a former teammate and a friend, no doubt. Well, unless it's a Michigan guy. I can't put on a maize and blue, no matter what.
Hey, me and you on the same page with that one. It's that team up north, man. I can't stand him.
Oh man.
Common enemy.
Exactly. Yes. Well, thank you, Coach, for coming on, and best luck to you and your program this upcoming season and that moving forward. So thank you again for coming
appreciate
on. We appreciate
you,
it.